The Reset Podcast is a show about fresh starts. In business, career, relationships, health, and life in general, sometimes we all go forward to a new square one. Every moment is a new opportunity to begin again, and my guests will tell you how, when, and why they decided to reset their lives. I'm Franklin Taggart. Welcome to The Reset Podcast. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Reset. This is Franklin Taggart, and my guest today is Arianna Friedlander. Arianna is a person that I've wanted to interview for quite a while now, and I've known about Arianna for several years through mutual friends that we have in the Northern Colorado entrepreneurs community. And I also learned about her early on when she had an organization called Entrepreneurs. So welcome, Arianna. How are you today?
Thanks, Franklin. Thanks for having me. It's an honor to be here. And I'm doing really well, particularly happy that it's sunny and warming up outside.
Ah, very good. Yeah, we had our first taste of winter this week. I'm not quite ready for that, I don't think.
Nope.
You are the founder and principal person in a company called Rosabella Consulting. Can you talk a little bit about that company? And we're going to go into the backstory as far as we can go, but I'd like to know a little bit about the things that you're up to these days and kind of what the vision for the company has been.
Yeah, so Rosabella Consulting, I started over 8 years ago. It was really an effort to earn a living while being true to myself and also wanting to support leaders in walking their talk. Because that's something that was bothering me, was witnessing leaders in the community and within organizations, reading the latest book, using the lingo, but not actually embodying it. And so that's what I have the pleasure of doing, is working with leaders doing business as unusual to help them make the impossible possible.
Very good. Can you talk a little bit more about how you came to the realization that you needed to step into a consulting role?
Yeah, it was one of those things that I realized and felt like in the moment was this flash of a realization. And then looking back, came to notice that it's something I'd been working towards for years. And so I was just always drawn to the premise of consulting, of being brought in to help solve problems and having the opportunity to learn new ideas and connect with new resources or challenges, just to always have that every day is a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And so it took me years though to figure out how I could fit in there and where I could bring value and where I had skills to lend, and really how to just pull all of the pieces together.
Now, a few years ago, you wrote a book called The Misfit Entrepreneur's Guide to, is it building your own business or starting your own?
It's Building a Business Your Way.
Building a Business Your Way. And that book takes a lot of the ideas that you've worked with in your consulting business over time. But I'm kind of curious, one of the things that you said was one of the mysteries was that you didn't know quite where you fit into the mix. And I'm curious about your choice of the word misfit entrepreneur. How did that come about?
Yeah, I think I've always felt a little bit like a misfit. I'm not good at following directions. I don't like being told what to do. I often found, especially when you're just starting a business, I'm sure you can relate to this and other people listening that have been in that phase can as well. Everyone and their mother wants to tell you how to build your business and what you need to do to be successful. And I kept hearing these things and thinking, well, that's not me. That's not how I want to show up. And that's not the kind of business I want to build. And so there were lots of facets about how I wanted to build my business that did not fit into traditional paradigms of consulting and business in general.
Oh, what were some of those that come to mind?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think in terms of some of the ways of marketing is one area where you know, really just fixating on the pain, the pain, the pain. And then like, I am the solution to your pain. And then also from there, having this prescribed formulaic approach. Follow these five steps and I'm going to get you pain-free. My approach and style is more co-creative than that. Yeah. It's really about walking kind of side by side with my clients and being an additional resource, guide, an expert along with them. Instead of me being this kind of plug and play, I have these answers you must use. I really do like to have this give and take with my clients. And essentially I engage in with all of my clients is this co-creative process. So my process isn't overly complicated. It's very simple. We discover your needs, we design a program around your needs, and we execute on it. We do the work. And then we just go back to this feedback loop.
Well, it sounds much more affirming than the solution to your pain model.
Yeah, it feels like it. And it just feels true to what I am about. When you asked about mission, you know, and vision, it's really helping people connect with their authentic self, their inner genius, their true self, however you want to ascribe a meaning to that. But I think we all have, you know, this ability to connect within for answers to questions that we can't actually get by searching online. In fact, we're not going to get answers to life's most difficult questions searching online. We have to look within.
Yeah, definitely. I'm a little bit curious to go back further than what we're talking about right now and to talk a little bit about entrepreneurs. That all started as your idea for a book club. Was that right?
Yeah. So 6 months into starting my business, I realized I didn't know anything about being an entrepreneur. And I was incredibly overwhelmed with everything that I had to learn. And when I thought about it, I didn't want to pay money for some overpriced seminar in a hotel that was going to give me the five steps to building a successful business. So that was out. I didn't also really have the funds to invest in something like that. And what I found I really wanted was to replicate my experiences in school, in undergraduate school in particular. And so I realized I was good at buying business books and reading maybe the first chapter and then not getting any further. And so it really was born out of all of the combination of these needs and desires to have a place where I would have first accountability to actually read a book. And then second, a place that was safe for me and others to process what we were learning in the book and how it related to our own challenges and experiences and identifying steps to take forward from there.
And from that, a really brilliant community arose. And it sounds like that it became a real core source of support for you as you opened and started your business.
It's true. Yeah, it was a really supportive and encouraging group of people and very real, which was nice.
That particular group is no longer, as I understand. You still have the Facebook page, but there's not really a whole lot of activity there.
There has not been. When I started writing my book, I realized I couldn't organize and run a book discussion group while writing one at the same time. Every time I would start to read a book, I'd want to incorporate things I was reading in that book into what I was writing. And it was just too overwhelming, too much. And so I needed to take a break at that point and just found that things shifted in the marketplace, in our community here. And for me as well, that I started to feel like a lot of business books really kind of say some of the same things over and over again. And what I realized after writing my book, so I have this analogy of being an entrepreneur is like riding a bike. It's a journey of mastery and one never arrives. And so there are three practices on the journey. And the first is the biker, so understanding yourself. The second is the bike ride, So understanding business, or sorry, the second is the bike. So understanding business. And then the third is the bike ride. And that's being on a meaningful journey. Mm-hmm. And after I wrote the book, I realized, oh, I really need to work on understanding myself. And my focus kind of shifted from getting down the basics of business to doing more deep dive within connecting with myself, understanding myself on a deeper level, because I was finding that, you know, I am my biggest barrier mm-hmm. to the things that I say I want happening.
The bicycle metaphor is one that I've found extremely powerful. And I'm interested to hear, we'll definitely be talking about your deep dive here in a minute, but I'm very interested to hear, in looking at your own book compared to the ones that you read, what do you think the most stark differences are?
Yeah. So I think that I'm very open and honest about what is happening within my mind, the thoughts that I'm having as I'm dealing and grappling with different parts of my business and this journey of being an entrepreneur. And I did bring in excerpts from my journal. So I actually have, you know, these very raw, unfiltered thought processes to illustrate what my journey was like. And so I think that that's a very different piece of it. One of the things that I also felt was different at the time, and I'm finding more authors are including this in their books, are that I had reflection questions at the end of each chapter that really were journaling prompts. And I'm finding more and more books are starting to have these reflection questions and journaling prompts at the end of chapters as well. So that's cool.
Definitely a trend. I've been seeing that too.
Yeah.
You were one of the first.
Yeah.
That I remember. Yeah.
It just made sense to me. I think it felt like it was missing from the books because so many of them are just, you know, they tend to be a little prescriptive. That's what I think the industry has come to expect. And that's not the same as here's an idea. Now, how does this relate to your life and what are you going to do about it?
Right. Well, one of the books that is fairly apparent to see the influence of in your writing is The Lean Startup by Eric Ries. Can you talk a little bit about how that book impacted you?
Yeah, it was amazing because when I came across that book, I had no clue what Lean Startup was and didn't realize that I was just naturally doing some of it in my business. I realized that my initial product or service idea that I had for my business wasn't viable before I even launched. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't realize that that's what I was doing. And I wasn't necessarily doing it with much skill. I think actually using Lean Startup is an area that I'm still developing my skills in application wise. But it just like kind of made things that I could sense that just felt off about building these business plans that may or may not fit with what customers want. And then having this methodology of, okay, well, you can document these ideas and then test them out and really find that product market fit was just really exhilarating for me. And the way I wrote the book was to try to lean startup it. I kind of turned it into a verb for myself because I'd gotten to a place in my business where I couldn't just do yet another creative endeavor that lost me money. And it worked. The book was profitable upon the release.
How did you test that initially?
I tested it with a community of co-creators, and I tested it by publishing a draft of the book on my blog. So the co-creators, I started with, I think it was like about seven co-creators that would join me in a mastermind and pay to be a part of my creative process and go through this Misfit Entrepreneurs Mastermind with me as I was drafting up the book. Mm-hmm. And that was a very private ask. So I only asked people in my tribe that I thought, oh, I want you. Or I happened to run into at a networking event and it came up in conversation and I'd be like, oh, you'd be a good fit for this. And so that was the first test. And I was like, okay, I could feel that. So this is a good sign. And then I brought the co-creator opportunity out to the public. And so I had people in the public, some of which I still have never met, that signed up to be co-creators of my book, and they paid to play. And some were highly involved in giving me feedback and reviewing things, and others just really wanted to provide the support to make it possible and believed in the vision.
Well, that's great. That is a very cool story. And I think that there are a lot of other folks out there that who are, you know, creating products and services that could do well to learn from that, me included. I have a tendency to do my own thing, and then all of a sudden there's no marketplace feedback at all along the way until I launch it and it falls absolutely flat. But we'll talk about that another time.
Right. Yeah. That would be another fascinating conversation for sure. Cause I think it's always the challenge of creatives like ourselves.
I find it very interesting that the direction that you've taken since the book was released is more toward the area of journaling. And I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. People who join your email list, for example, one of the things that you send them is journaling prompts. And they're fascinating prompts to start with. But I'd like you to talk a little bit about how that became your direction after the book was published.
Yeah. So as I mentioned, I incorporated excerpts from my journal to write the book, which required me to go away to a cabin. Well, that was maybe a choice. It was a good choice to go away to a cabin and review my journals to find themes and pull out different ideas. And in looking back at my journals, one of the things that struck me was that my practice started to transform. And that transformation matched my own personal growth and transformation as well. And I've always been a fan of journaling. And since I took that step, that scary step of sharing excerpts of my journals and my book, I started to have more conversations with people about journaling. And it just really intrigued me. And I loved hearing about other people's practices and how they were unique and different or similar to my own. And just what the power of that self-reflection and that pausing and that making visible these thoughts that really impact us on a day-to-day basis. I just really got excited by that all and felt like, you know, this is an area that feels in alignment and true to add value and is something that I'm not seeing out there. I think a lot of the resources around journaling that I see out there are either these guided journal books or bullet journaling, which is usually really Pinterest perfect. And my own practice is anything but Pinterest perfect. It would be disingenuous for me to suddenly make it beautiful just so I could put it on Pinterest.
Yeah.
I enjoy having a deeper look at that practice. And it really did come out of just the process of writing the book that I realized that this passion needed to be expressed and shared.
How do you incorporate and integrate journaling into your routine?
A number of different ways throughout the day. So it's what I do first thing in the morning. I have a morning ritual, and that has also evolved over the years. It started out as me kind of trying to do morning pages, which is a technique where you write 3 pages uninterrupted. 3 pages. And you just write everything that's on your mind. And there were facets of that didn't quite sit right for me personally. I do enjoy letting myself stare out the window with a cup of tea in my hand. And so I just started this morning journaling practice, and now it involves me reading a quote and lighting my candle. And then I do 15 minutes of heart-centered meditation. I use a inner balance trainer that gives me biofeedback about getting my heart into coherence. And so I do that for 15 minutes. And then I write stream of consciousness in my journal. I have a separate journal for this portion of my practice. And I now conclude every time I write with what I now call the voice of compassion. Mm. And that's something I developed in the last year and a half, because anyone that's read my book or is familiar with my work knows that I have had a really cruel inner critic and inner voice that's just been harsh and judgmental of myself. And so, you know, connecting in with this voice of compassion has helped me shift that internal dialogue. And I realized I had to do that daily in my practice as I wrote, if I wanted to do it in the moment when it counted. So that's the morning practice. And then I also journal in a moleskin throughout the day. I use that to organize my life. And I will, you know, set out my plans and priorities for the week, for the day, for the month. I'll do different pages around projects that I'm working on, timelines, to-dos, I'll mind map, I brain dump. And if I'm out and about, that's the journal I carry around with me. And if I need to write stream of consciousness while I'm out and about, that's the one I'll do it in. So wow. Sometimes I just got to get it out of my head moment. You know?
That's great. And then do you have anything at the close of the day, or just those couple of practices in the morning and through the day?
Yeah. At the close of the day, it's usually getting my daughter to bed.
Very good.
As she ages and that changes, I imagine that my practice will change along with it. But yeah, right now that's the focus for my end of day.
How long have you been practicing this discipline?
I got my first journal when I was 8 years old, and I did not write very consistently. I think over the course of maybe 3 years, I wrote here and there. What's interesting in that journal is that older Ariana, I think it was like 10-year-old Ariana, went back and edited 8-year-old Ariana's writing. So read into that however you want to. And then again, I had another journal in middle school. I didn't really finish it. I wrote a little bit. It wasn't until high school that I bought myself a journal, and it took me 3 years to finish my first journal. And I continued journaling through college and my 20s with varying degrees of frequency. And it wasn't until before I started my business that I started to journal with more consistency and frequency, because the pace of my intentional reflection just picked up. So it kind of went from me needing to get things out of my head, just getting stuck in this spinning mental space and these ruts, to me avoiding the rut altogether. And, you know, actually just pushing myself into new areas of thought and potential.
And since the process of writing the book, then you've made it much more of a daily routine. And can you talk a little bit about how have the benefits deepened since that started?
Well, I notice on the days that I don't get to journal, I can tell. So it just helps me set my intentions for the day. It helps me clear my mind. It helps me oftentimes if I'm doing something new or different, or no, I have a particular challenge that I have to face in that day, I'll set myself up to accomplish it successfully. So it just really gives me that place and that peace of mind that I can work through this.
That's awesome.
Make this, you know, happen. And yeah, I can sometimes get easily aggravated if I don't get to journal, especially if it's a few days of something, like I'm sick or something happens that keeps me from my practice for a few days.
This seems like a good time for me to say that if you want to find more out about Ariana and her consulting company, rosabellaconsulting.com is the address that you can check that all out. I would encourage people to sign up for the mailing list. and look for those journaling prompts that are going to be coming your way. I'm a little bit curious now as to, in the consulting business now, Ariana, tell me a little bit about what are the things that are really capturing your fancy and attention right now in terms of your consulting work?
What really does excite me is working with clients that do have that commitment to personal growth and development, and recognizing and wanting to work on their own stuff so that they can have a greater impact and greater influence in creating positive change. And so for me, what really excites me is anytime I can play a part in co-creating positive change with other leaders. There's a lot of opportunities to make positive shifts in a number of industries in our society right now. So it's cool that I get the opportunity to play in different industries because of where my clients are at. It's really all comes down to that mindset and openness to learning and growing.
And your work reflects a real diversity of experience, including things like leadership development, the personal development angle. You're doing quite a bit of work with communication. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because in our last conversation, you mentioned some of the things that you're really studying and that you're really trying to bring forward in your own practice.
Thanks. Yeah. So 2016, I think it was, I received certification in a framework called conversational intelligence, which is based on the neuroscience of conversation. And that's been a super fun avenue for me to explore in my business and in my personal life, because we're all, you know, we all share this human experience. And because it's based on neuroscience, it's really looking at our brain function and how different stimuli impacts our brain functions, and that we can be intentional with how we're showing up in conversations so that we're building trust intentionally instead of unintentionally eroding trust or, you know, creating situations of distrust all around what neurochemicals we're releasing in our conversational partners. So it's really powerful stuff. There's a lot of times when we all have good intentions and our impacts aren't matching up to those intentions. And a lot of it has to do with habits and patterns that we get stuck in because we're creatures of habit. That's, you know, part of being human. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that happens in conversation and different interaction dynamics that can occur. So I feel like a magician when I get to use that with clients, because I can really quickly shift the energy and how people are showing up from defensiveness or protective to open and co-creative just by leveraging that skill.
Now, are you doing this work with both individuals and organizations? One or the other, or both?
I do coaching, training, and facilitation using this work. And so it's, you know, sometimes one-on-one where I'll be helping a leader elevate their conversational intelligence. Sometimes in teams, very overtly, where I will do a training in conversational intelligence. And it always amazes me that teams say, well, we've never had a conversation like that before. And, you know, just seems like a lot of conversations we typically engage in are not getting too far beneath the surface. And so these problems can fester. Other times when I'm facilitating, I'm using it more covertly.
Yeah.
And the client that's hiring me generally knows that I'm bringing that piece to the table, but I'm not explaining all of the moving parts of the brain and neuroscience and all of that. In the facilitation, I'm just doing what I know how to do to build trust. And
very cool. That sounds very interesting.
I think so.
Yeah, it sounds like a totally neat thing to work with. And I can only imagine that the impact that that has with the people and organizations that you're working with is quite marked.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on now for yourself and for your business?
Yeah. So right now I'm in the process of working on a new journaling program. It's called Radical Journaling. And it's really exciting. It's radical because unlike some of the journaling guides, like printed guides that are out there, it's not about, you know, here's the steps, right? It's not formulaic. One of the things that we say is journaler's choice. So, you know, there's not one right or wrong way to journal. There's the best way for you.
Yes.
And so working on some different programs with that. I have a webinar that will be coming out in a little bit here on a third-party platform that I'm really excited about. And I've been interviewing other people about their journaling practices to really shed light on our inner realities. I find that, you know, we all are struggling inside in different ways, facing different challenges, and it feels incredibly lonely to be in that space. And the reality is that we are not alone. Mm-hmm. And so by bringing it to the surface, by shedding light on it, giving it voice, I just hope to let other people know you're not alone. And there are things that you can do to cultivate a healthy inner reality. You don't have to be a victim to that cruel inner critic like I was, or whatever other, you know, negative inner turmoil you might be struggling with.
And tell us the name of the program again.
Radical Journaling.
Radical Journaling. And that's going to be coming up in the near future. I would encourage people to join your mailing list so that they can be sure to know about that as soon as it's available. I have one last question for you that's kind of burning into my consciousness right now. And that is, you know, you've been in business now almost 9 years, and I'm very curious to look back over that 9 years. And how would you describe your own personal transformation from the time that you started, even from the time that you got the idea for it, and where you are now? What are some, you know, ways that you could describe your own transformation in that?
Yeah. So I once heard about the transformation of a butterfly, you know, and that the story goes, oh, you know, it's a caterpillar and then it goes into this cocoon and then emerges a beautiful butterfly, but omits the reality of what happens in the cocoon, which is quite dramatic and quite intense and quite painful. And so I think my own journey, you know, definitely, I feel probably like maybe I'm still in the cocoon many days. There's still just so much work that I'm doing. Maybe I'll always be there. That's okay. I'd rather at least be making progress in that way than be stagnant. And I think, you know, in the beginning, there was just this naivete, you know, of starting a business. And I was so naive into what it would really take and how hard it would really be and how painful it would be at times. You know, you put yourself out there, you invest everything you've got into these different ideas, and then people don't like it like you did, or they say they like it, but they don't actually pay you or give you money, or they just, you know, straight up ignore you. And all of those pieces, I just, you know, experienced over time and again. And I think I moved from this naive position to jaded.
Yeah.
And this jaded, oh my gosh, I know how much it takes. And so could easily and quickly talk myself out of every single idea. Whereas before, I would talk myself into every single idea. And I think now I'm reaching that more equilibrium of, okay, I know what it takes. I don't need to go to the opposite extreme of saying no to everything. I need to be intentional and reflective and just monitor for myself. How does this sit well? Does this sit well? Doesn't it? Does this feel right for me? And be committed to taking steps day in and day out, because at this point, I've known for years, but I think I've more embodied the fact that it is a long game. There's not a quick, rich scheme that I'm doing. This is this long game of earning a living while being true to myself. And I'll never arrive at it. And some days I'll feel more accomplished or successful at it than others. But as long as I know I did my best and I am making progress towards creating positive change within myself and others, that's all I can ask for.
That is probably the most perfect way that we could end this show today.
I'm so glad. Thank you.
Well, I've been delighted to have a chance to talk with you more, and I really love your story. And I just want to remind people again, rosabellaconsulting.com is the place to go to find out about Misfit Entrepreneur's Guide and to find out about radical journaling when it becomes available and all else that's going on in the life and world of Arianna Friedlander. Is there anything you'd like to say in parting, Arianna?
Just thank you, Franklin. It's really fun to get to do this interview with you. It's been nice to reconnect recently with you, and cool to see what you are doing. And I think that it's really helpful to shed light on the transitions that people are navigating, because it's a major part of life. And having that awareness of how other people are doing it, I think, can make it a little bit more manageable for folks to do so with grace. So thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. Thanks for taking the time to listen to, subscribe, and review the Reset Podcast. The Reset Podcast features interviews, insights, and in-depth reflections that will help you navigate your own fresh start. If you'd like to be a guest or share an idea for a topic you'd like to hear about, please contact podcast@franklintaggart.com. I offer a wide range of services to people who are ready to live with clear direction, new possibilities, greater freedom, and unlimited creativity. If you're looking for a new beginning, I'm available to help you. More information is available at franklintaggart.com. The Reset Podcast is a production of Franklin Taggart and Make Your Own Way Media. All rights reserved.